Welcome to the No Budget Indie Filmcast, where we dip into the independent film universe to highlight those little films that you might not have heard about elsewhere. Will you agree with our panel, or will our panel agree with each other? Tune in to find out. I am Milo Dennison, and with me, as always, is Claire Malone.
Hello.
And joining us as well is Cathal Feeney.
Hello.
All right, Claire, what did we watch this week?
So this week we sat down to watch a short film called Hermie. It's directed by Anthony Pitsiles and Jonathan Becker. It is written by Anthony Pitsiles, Jonathan Becker, and Ian Battaglia, excuse my pronunciation. And it's actually based on a short story by Nathaniel Riches, called Hermie as well. It is about a scientist, an oceanographer, who meets his childhood best friend, his childhood imaginary friend, who happens to be a hermit crab, before an environmental speech. So the lead actor is Mike Schmink, and the voice of the little hermit crab is Ron E. Raines. So Mike Schmink plays Henry. He's an oceanographer and he's really nervous. He's at this big concert, this conference, goes into the bathroom, and this childhood imaginary friend, a hermit crab called Hermie appears. And Hermie has lost his home. The beach where they used to play as children, Turtle Beach, is being destroyed. And he reminisces about his childhood playing with Hermie on the beach. And I don't know if I'll spoil it or not, but there is a decision that Henry has to make about Hermie. And Hermie is looking for help from Henry to kind of go back into his childhood and play again and be best friends. And since Hermie has no home, he's looking for Henry to help him because his home has been destroyed, and he's told him all the beach has been destroyed. It's like an environmental short film, and it is it's a combination of live action and stop motion. I thought it's a really sweet little film. It is has a really good message as well about holding on to childhood things and memories, and it's also quite sad. I definitely felt a bit emotional over this. It's amazing how you can feel for an animation. It's amazing how animation can make you actually very emotional sometimes. I thought it was a really beautiful story with a lovely message about the environment and looking after the environment, and about holding on to your childhood or letting go of your childhood. I thought it was very well done, very well acted. The animation of the hermit crab was done really, really well, and it pulled on my heartstrings, so it left a big impression with me. I actually watched it twice because I really enjoyed it. So what did you guys think of it?
Was it stop motion, by the way?
I looked it up and it said it was a combination of live action with stop motion. So
that was one thing I wasn't sure about, whether it was kind of computer animated or stop motion. Really, I just want to point out that
it looked really like animation as well. So it must have been
Well, it's good to know. I just want to point out that I think that actor, he looks like Tobey Maguire's dad.
Oh, he does, actually. Yeah. Just as you mentioned it, he does, isn't he?
I don't think I've ever seen Tobey Maguire's dad, so I'll take your word for it.
No, I mean, like, I don't. That was all right. I wanted a film. Like I say, it was very well done. Nice concept. I didn't know it was an imaginary friend. You know, I just thought like it was okay. This crab, it's like some sort of Disney thing where a crab actually exists, but he's imagining it. Okay, that's news to me, which kind of makes sense because
I think it's an imaginary friend.
Maybe. Yeah, you're probably right. Because, I mean, at one stage, this guy walks out of one of the cubicles and he says nothing. So, like, I thought that scene was a bit strange because he would have heard a conversation, you know? And he said,
I think that's why he was giving him the weird looks, wasn't it? Like, why are you talking to yourself? Kind of weird looks.
Yeah, maybe that was it. Yeah. Well, he, so if it was imaginary, he would have been talking to himself, but not talking to somebody else. Like, but yeah, I guess it's a sort of a bit of a morality tale, a sort of an allegory about the environment and how we treat the environment and how we pay lip service to, you know, what needs to be done and how badly it's treated by humanity, but been faced with a decision to actually do something about it, we push it away. We, you know, the allegory, the metaphor at the very end, I kind of was quite apt. I wonder why they put their place in a public bathroom, though. I don't know if that was necessary, because it looked very sterile, the whole thing. I don't think it necessarily added to it. I mean, they could have had it in his house, for instance, and that would have, it would have made more sense as to how he was able to find them in the first place. And he could have played around with that much more, like, you know, could have brought him into his bedroom, maybe had a picture there on his wall or something like that. But I mean, that's my only sort of observation, critique.
You know, the way he was nervous about his speech and then he needed the toilet, I think. Spoiler
alert. Yeah, I mean, that's true. But, like, you know, that, I don't think that was a fundamental part of the story. I mean, they could have played around with that a bit. But anyway, you know.
I felt the bathroom worked, especially because, like, when he walks in and you see the garbage is overflowing and then trash being, and you're like, wow, what a messy bathroom. So I think that play adds to it of, like, how people were, you know, using a bathroom or just throwing, even when they're grabbing paper towels out of the thing, it's like grabbing, okay, and then grab a bunch more. And do you really need that many paper towels, kind of a thing? So yeah. I think maybe that's probably why they played that up a little bit.
I think it's because the environmental thing, as you're saying, it's like using all the paper towels and just the horrible, messy bathroom,
added to it. Yeah. And they were able to play with the bit with the guy coming out of the stall and wondering, you know, can the guy see the crab or is the guy's imaginary friend, kind of thing? And, you know, the guy giving him the weird looks and stuff. But you have it spot on, though, Carl, with the okay, we all just talk about them, right? You know, I'm going to go give a speech about how we need to save the environment. But when it comes down to it, I'll just flush it down the drain. It's fine. Don't worry about it. My daughter, she's never been to the beach. It's fine. I don't, you know, it's kind of hassle to have a crab and kids at the same time, you know.
Yeah. I mean, in a certain way, you can sort of understand it, because, like, it just seems so overwhelming, the problems, like, that one person, what can one person do? I know you talk about the power of one, but, you know, that's my excuse anyway.
In regards to the film as well, I mean, he did, it was a nice little story and well acted. And I did like the combining of the stop motion crab along with the guy to give that kind of fantasy type feel with the talking crab and stuff. It was a fun little play. Did you guys notice, I wonder what they spent on this film though. Did you notice the number of names in the credits at the end? It just went on and on and on. And you're like, are you kidding me? This is like a 10-minute film.
Yeah, literally one scene, one setting, really. Another setting.
Yeah, in one location.
Yeah, one location, really. Yeah, it did. I went on and then it was lovely because they showed the kind of childhood, the memory as well. I just thought it was lovely, you know.
It was cute.
In the credits, like, did all those people have a role in it? Or
no, it was like just people? Second AD, second camera, third AD, assistant to the FX artist, gaffer. You know, like, I don't remember all the actual visit, but it was like that. I mean, I remember seeing gaffer. I remember seeing lighting, multiple camera people. You know, like, all kinds of stuff. You know, runner probably. Person who cleaned up the bathroom after the filming was done.
I mean, apart from the you know, the stop motion animation of the crab, there wasn't nothing else to it, like, really.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's why I was surprised how large the crew was. Like, and there were multiple people doing the animation and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. It's like quite the crew for what's a pretty simple film.
Assistant to the crab.
Yeah, exactly.
Crab makeup.
Yeah. animal wrangler. Of course, you got to have an animal wrangler for your animated crab. I thought they did a good job with the mix too, even the couple shots where they kind of real quickly show him like picking the crab up, but you know, they don't really like he's using his body to cover it. So that way you don't actually see him handling the crab and that kind of stuff properly, which was nice as well. So I thought it was a good little mix.
Well, they could have shown him handling the crab, surely. Mm-hmm. You know, because
my theory is they did all the crab separate and added it in post.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. I didn't think of that.
That's my theory. I don't think that. My guess is they didn't shoot the crab on location doing stop motion. That they did the stop motion maybe like in a green screen and added it in post. That's my theory. I don't know if that's true or not. Yeah. Or if they do it on location. Maybe the makers of the film will hear our interview and respond. Sometimes makers do that. So if you guys are listening, let us know. Did you do the crab stop motion in the bathroom or added in post?
Yeah, that's a good shout there that they did that. But even still, I mean, they could have brought the crab to the bathroom, you know, and had him pick it up.
Yeah. Which they might have done. It's just, it's hard to tell because they really showed that just one brief split second of the crab in his hands and he brings it in his body so his back is to the camera and you don't really see it.
Okay.
That makes sense then. They filmed the crab separately. Yeah.
That's my thought. That's why they didn't show him holding it very long. Or maybe it would have looked even faker, I guess, if you were holding it. I don't know.
Okay.
Why? I don't know why filmmakers make decisions they do.
Yeah, exactly. And also, I don't know why he's trying to hide it. Like, if it was an imaginary friend, why is he trying to, like, you know, hide it from the guy? Yeah. I mean, not real nitpicking here, right?
Yeah.
But I would have thought, my God, a talking crab. Like, who would not want a talking crab? You know, bring home a talking crab. Like, that'd be so cool.
Totally. So,
imaginary friend, but I think it is. I'm not sure if it says it.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
It makes sense that it would be an imaginary friend.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But it's funny because if he knows it's an imaginary friend, then why is he kind of trying to block the crab when the guy's in the bathroom? Or if he thinks it's real and is blocking it. Because if he thinks it's real, then totally, take it home and show it to your family. I mean, like, yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Go on TV.
Yeah, exactly. Talking crab.
Do you ever, you lived near the beach, did you, Milo, when you were a kid?
We lived a bit inland, so we had lakes and rivers.
Okay.
So we'd go to the beach at the lake and river, but I'd never.
You have crabs?
Not really. No, fish. I think that, it was always fish in those, so we never had I've never had crabs, Carl. You?
All right. You ever get bitten on the toe by a crab? Do you ever get bitten on the toe, Claire?
No.
All right. I'm pretty sure I did. Like, I have this
feeling
that I must have because I spent a lot of time as a kid on the beach during summer holiday. So, you know, we had all these rock pools and everything. Yeah.
Well, it makes sense in Ireland. I mean, there's so much nice beach area and stuff that you'd be out at the beaches.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
But I never spoke to any of them.
That's good. Maybe I should have. Didn't play with any of them. Be like, let's build a sandcastle. Yeah. Little crab friend.
No way. Yeah, baby.
Yeah. I never had imaginary friends either.
I don't think I did either. No.
Wasn't that a guy from Friends? But Chandler said he had an imaginary friend whom his parents preferred.
Oh, yeah. I remember that joke. My parents liked him better.
I love the film Drop Dead Fred, not the imaginary friend. One of my favorite films.
All right. So anyway, we're deviating. We're not really giving this film a lot of tension
all the time it deserves. Well, should we rate it then? I guess we're getting off subject. I'll go first. Or do you want to go, Carl? Are you fine?
No, you go. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Since I usually don't go first, I'll go first this time. I'm going to go. I liked it. I liked the message that it had. Good bits of animation. So 3.5 stars.
All right. It was a nice little idea. and original. So I was going to go three, but I'll bump it up to a half, 3.5 stars because it was kind of unusual.
Wow.
So for me, yeah, it was a really sweet film and it did pull on the heartstrings. I really love the stop motion and yeah, I thought it was a really lovely message as well. So 3.5 stars for me as well.
Wow, that's all odd. We all did half stars.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's ever happened. Okay, well, you heard it here, folks. 3.5 stars on Hermie. So you can check it out. It's on YouTube, right? Yeah,
YouTube. I think it's on Omeletto. Yeah, YouTube and Omeletto.
Yeah, Omeletto, yeah. So a good source for good films, that Omeletto. You can let us know what you think of it at No Budget Show on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. And of course, as we mentioned, if you are the filmmakers, shoot us a message. We'd like to hear your thoughts behind this particular film. And don't get mad that we don't give it 3.5 stars. That does mean we like it. It just means we don't love it. Sorry. No, but it's still a good film and has a good message. It's definitely worth watching. And with that, we'll say see you next time and goodbye.
Bye.
On the 80s and 90s Uncensored, listen to card-carrying Gen Xers, Milo and Jamie, as we banter, debate, and discuss various topics about the 80s and 90s.
If you're a miserable middle-aged office worker and your life sucks and essentially you don't have anything to look forward to, at least one day a week you have the 80s and 90s Uncensored.
We try to decide if Magnum and MacGyver were in a cage match, who would walk out?
We discuss if the problems between the left and the right can be attributed to those who watched Saved by the Bell and those who didn't.
We have the ultimate smackdown between Voyager versus Deep Space Nine.
And a lot of talk about movies and music from the era.
So flashback with us by subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast to enjoy a new episode of the 80s and 90s Uncensored every Monday.